Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day Sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
It's interesting, but I also just have to point out, you know, it was a really good song to choreograph, and that was the reason to, and I like you, and it was a romantic thing. The other song, and I think I've told you this on our first one of these podcasts, Pete, the other song that was brought to me was, and it sounded so crazy that someone would be going,
"Everybody dance now."
Hey, Beverly Hills 90210 fans, are you ready to dive deep? Episode by episode, storyline by storyline, character by character, as we break down the making of your favorite zip code with your host, Charles Rosen.
Did I say that?
Jeez. Mary Mullen.
This heinous thing about the real person, and we go, what? We're getting rid of this guy.
Pete Ferrero.
And growing up, my like TV crush is Claire Arnold. So I mean, she has to come on the show at this point.
Fashion guru Perry.
She was
Sexton.
Like 25 or something. What the hell? She looked so old.
Like so many special guests and all your questions live on the Beverly Hills 90210 show. Oh, yeah.
There he is. Hello.
Hello, Larry.
You made it.
Hey, I was doing something that Jessica and Larry would do. I was writing.
You got in the moment.
I got 15 minutes, and then it was 5 o'clock.
Very cool. All right. Hey, Melanie's with us, and we're going to bring everybody on in a second. Melanie is doing another hunt, but in the previous hunt, there was a contest winner. Her name is Erica, and we're going to bring her in here. And so she is excited to be with us. She's going to be able to ask us a question, and I believe you have a question for Carol Potter, right?
I do.
Okay, so let's bring Carol into the mix here.
Here she is.
Hi.
To you.
Hi, Carol. Nice to meet you.
Hi, Erica. I'm so excited that you have a question for me.
I wanted to ask you, are you similar to your character in any way?
Oh, I think you'd have to ask my son that question. Probably some ways. I think of myself as a nice, understanding person. I'm good at supporting people and helping people out. But I'm probably not as quiet as Cindy. Probably tend to, you know, shout a little bit more and get a little more riled up, frankly. Oh.
Yeah, Cindy was very reserved.
She's very equanimous. Yeah. So, that's good what learning. I aim for. And like most of the time, I can be very equanimous. And then there will be these moments when it just goes, screaming, I'm enraged, you know, throwing my computer out the window.
Right. Yes, I've been there myself. All right, Erica, we're going to thank you for stopping by and asking your question. And congratulations. I just want to show you guys, this is what got her the spot here in Melanie's hunt. She submitted a fun fan video, a reenactment video, and this is what she put together.
Brandon, where's your Roman? Look right here. Look right here. Give me your hand. Come on. Oh, I'll pull you up. Come on.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, Koozie Rescue. Performance.
And your son is phenomenal in that as well. I think you're going to get the Emmy.
Thank you. Ironically, they had just come back from a camping trip that day when we videotaped it. So it was even perfect because that was the camping episode. So
yes. Love it.
Okay.
It was fun, and I can't wait to do the next one. So
awesome.
Looking forward to it. Thank you so much. Happy holidays, everybody.
Happy Thanksgiving, Erica.
Thank you.
Bye.
Now we're going to get ready for some more things. But Melanie, I want you to tell us about what you're doing now for the hunt before we get into this episode.
Thank you. Holiday hunt coming up December 17th through the 21st. We've got great prizes lined up. You complete virtual tasks. It's a lot of fun. We had a great time with our 30th anniversary hunt. So visit 90210hunts.com. Everything you need to know is there. And happy holiday hunting.
Kept it brief, Melanie. That was great. Yes,
I have signed up. I have signed up. I promise not to win, but I have signed up.
Thank you, Larry.
All right. And also I want to announce that we are going to be doing a very big Christmas party show on December 23rd. We're still figuring all of that out, but it's going to be a lot of fun. It's not going to be quite a super show, but it's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to cover some episodes and whatnot. So now, before we get into everybody else, I want to play this.
Dear Christmas, this is Natalie Morgan. I'll be live streaming from my childhood home.
November 27th.
What's the new special episode going to be about?
True love at Christmas.
Ho, ho, ho.
Ho, ho, hello. Keep running into this guy I went to middle school with.
I'll see you tomorrow.
You sound pretty sure of that.
Pretty sure.
Melissa Joan Hart, Jason Priestley, and Ed Begley Jr.
This is the best Christmas ever.
Dear Christmas premieres Friday, November 27th at 8. Part of It's a Wonderful Lifetime 24/7 holiday movies all season long.
There we go. Our buddy Jason Priestley's got a big Lifetime Christmas movie coming out, so that should be really exciting for him. We ran that.
Yeah, they made it in August.
Yeah, I think
they squeezed it in for a few days. That's what he was doing.
Nevada. He was shooting in Nevada, I thought. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I thought up in the Tahoe around there.
Tahoe, somewhere. Yeah.
All right, so now we are here, and look who's with us. What's that, Carol? I'm sorry.
I want to live a Lifetime movie.
Yeah.
Not a live one.
And we have Dave Sherrill from this amazing episode.
Dave?
My God, Dave, everybody here.
How before are you?
Before
I hope you are.
I'm enjoying myself. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, long
nice
time.
That you're here.
Before we came on, everybody was talking about how amazing you are in this episode. And I don't think we can say it enough, actually. So you'll probably hear that about 15 more times.
Well, throughout this time. Thank you.
It's amazing what a little makeup. Great director. Yeah, you know?
Two great directors, actually. For the one in the summer, Dan Attias, I believe. And and then I can't remember the fellow that did the Thanksgiving episode.
Richard Lang.
Yes, that's who it was, Richard Lang. He was wonderful. Yeah.
Chuck, let's start with you on this episode. We'll talk about the first of the Thanksgiving episodes that we're covering. We've always talked about holiday episodes being very important to the Spelling makeup, right? So talk to me about doing a Thanksgiving episode and where all this sort of starts with you.
Well, Thanksgiving was, now we knew we could stay in real time. We were moving through. We knew where we were. And just, we didn't do Thanksgiving in season two, I don't think. So it was still.
No, this is the first one.
This was new for us. So that was that. The interesting thing, which I'm sure Dave wouldn't know, but I don't know if you, and you might not know either, Jessica, because this was first one year business. I tried to do an episode where Brandon meets a homeless vet like Dave played, and Duke Vinson did not want me to do that in so early in season one. Aaron had other issues, but he had it. And, you know, Duke was in the military, so I deferred to that. But I always thought there was something about that character. So we did it in the summer. And then Paul Wagner said, did you have plans to bring you back? And I'll be truthful. And I said, no, I just saw it as a one out, you know. But this was before I think with your character, we realized anything that happened should come back and be grist for that. Because, you know, the story, we had your character. We didn't give you any closure. And so I'm so happy that... Paul suggested it, and Jess and Steve, wrote it, and we're here 30 years ago talking about it. 30 years later, talking about it.
Yeah.
Well, you said Jess and Steve wrote it, so talk to me about Jessica writing this episode.
Want to talk about it, or you want me to talk about it?
Yeah.
No, you talk about it.
Okay. So I wish I could tell you that as I look back on seven seasons and 32 episodes or more that I wrote that I remember writing them. I don't. But when I rewatched this, there were things that brought it back. And it was, I loved watching it. And I saw Steve's hand in it because of the two of us, he was much schmaltzier than I am. And it was filled with his warmth. And I liked seeing that. It also, I was telling the guys that both the episode from season 3 and the episode from season 6 refer to Brandon's famous bourbon sweet potatoes. And those were Steve Wasserman's famous bourbon sweet potatoes. So I couldn't believe it. It made me laugh to see it repeated in season 6. It's like, wasn't it enough? We said this already in season 3. Because, you know, they were good, but they weren't that good. And I sent Pete the recipe. It's not like it's right rocket here. Science.
Yeah.
There's the recipe.
So if anybody needs the recipe,
take the sweet potatoes and you put some butter and sugar in it, and then you pour bourbon all over it. And it's from the Cotton Country Cookbook. That's when I married Steve in 1980. He came with this cookbook that was from Monroe, Louisiana, the Junior League of Monroe, Louisiana. There must have been some girl in his life who was Southern or something who gave it to him, because I didn't find I went to see my Southern relatives. I got relatives who lived down there, but that didn't come from me. So that was fun for me. And it was really, I thought it was a beautiful episode. I thought, Dave, you did a terrific job. I mean, just lovely. And I was really glad that that Cindy Walsh played the mom that taught Brandon to be a good guy. That was just so beautiful. When Dave says, you're the one he got it from, it was just so tender. I loved it. And I loved hearing a little bit about Jim's dad, the Marine. I don't remember making that
up. Charlie there. You know, because we wanted to, really deal with the fact that Jim and Cindy were like so many of us, and they opposed the war. And you never saw that. Didn't matter the degree that they, opposed the war. We made it more that Jim was involved in what, like a moratorium or something. But
well, he didn't go to war.
He didn't join the army. No, he did not. I never went in. Why? We never got into that. But he was an activist against it. And when you have a military father in the mix, I think that was an interesting reveal and explained a lot of his uncharacteristic reaction, really, to being a good guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's go into Dave Sherrill here, because I feel like it's a critical, you're so important to this process and this episode. What do you recall about getting into you came in way earlier than this in the Beach Club episodes. What do you recall about coming into the Beverly Hills 90210 world and then, moving forward and getting this call back to come in and do this Thanksgiving stuff?
Well, I was kind of in the 90210 world when it was called Class of Beverly Hills, because Jason was my roommate for 3 years. I met him in Vancouver when I was, started an episode of 21 Jump Street. And, just a quick story how I met him. And it was a fifth episode of the first season. And one of the actors that had gotten cast had a conflict, couldn't come up to do it. So they cast this kid from this local high school at the last minute, and it was him. Wow. And and he had seen this movie I did called The Wraith, and he was like all into it because I played this crazy punk
rock Marvin
character. Mike Marvin's picture, yeah. And it was kind of like, he was funny. And anyway, so long story short, he said, hey, when I'm going to be graduating in June. So, hook me up with your address, man, your phone. Maybe I'll holler at you when I get down there. And one day he just knocked on the door and I opened, I was like, whoa, my apartment in North Hollywood at the time. And, He's like, yeah, dude, I'm here. Okay. And so he ended up crashing on my sofa for a while. And then we ended up getting an apartment together over in Malibu Canyon. And like I said, we were roommates from 88 till 92. Mm. So I was kind of always around that I saw it, you know, grow and go and so I was very familiar with it. And the way that I got into this one, I don't even know if Trap knows this, but I was at home one day and the phone rang and I picked it up. I was like, hello, you know, didn't have caller ID back then. And it was Diane Young. And she says, hey, Dave, this is Diane. I've written on a tour. I said, hey. She goes, yeah, I'm standing here with your agent, Luke Perry. And I said, what? And she goes, yeah. She goes, we have this storyline coming up about this homeless Gulf War veteran. And Luke is standing here with me right now saying that you're the guy for this part. And I want to send you the script. And I said, sure, I'll take a look at it, no problem. So I did, and I went in and read for it. And then I got called back and came in and met with Chuck. I think when they called me back, I was like, I was all filthy. I was like, I was out working in my yard or something. You know, I'd come in with like an old dirty Dodgers t-shirt and stuff. I came in and met with you guys, and we talked for a bit. And that's how that got going. So, I know all those guys really well. We were all friends and stuff. I went to Amsterdam with them. I mean, you know, we ran around. I live to tell that tale. They needed an older guy to chaperone them.
Oh, I bet. I made a funny bit before, but I'm real serious about it. You had more makeup on than I think anybody that we ever had in a role. Maybe when Ian went drag, mm-hmm. he had more makeup on. Mm-hmm. Outside of that, yeah, I mean, really, would you remember the ordeal of putting the stuff on?
Oh man, yeah, it was horrible. But see, I play a lot of character roles. So I played bikers and stuff where I've worn beards and long hair and mohawks. And I mean, you know, that was kind of the way my career shaped up, and which is really fun. I had fun doing that kind of stuff. But, you know, the funny story, I was mentioning this to Peter. At one point, we were shooting out on the beach, and they had me all in the stuff. And this is before the Thanksgiving episode, of course. And so I was going out to the set was out on the beach there, and I got stopped by, I was just by myself, and I got stopped by the cops there, you know, that watched the set. And the guy wouldn't let me on there because he thought I was a homeless guy. And of course, hair and makeup people got a kick out of that, you know, because that was a job well done. But I was like, no, really, I got to be over there. They're calling for me. I'm going to get in trouble. And so they had to send somebody over and go, yeah, no, he's with us. So I remember that was pretty funny.
Well, looking at this Thanksgiving episode, Dave, what are your memories about working on this episode? I think it's iconic in the 90210, in the world of 90210. I think
that episode got written up in the USA Today. I don't know if you guys remember that or not. Had a big section said 90210. Gets it right with, Thanksgiving episode, the Gulf War, because the way that we did that character, and I say we with the director and everybody, we didn't want to make the guy, it was a tightrope to walk because he's homeless, but yet he's still a Marine. And so, you know, you don't want him to be like, you know, this guy's so macho. So, you know, being homeless doesn't matter. But at the same time, you don't want him to be a victim going, oh, yeah, man, you know, well, you know, the war really bugged me out. And, you know, and it would have been a disservice to the men and women that wear the uniform. Mm-hmm. So truly tried to kind of play it, like right down the middle. The way I did that, I got to tell you, I went down to 3rd Street Promenade one night, and I kind of dressed a little bit bummy, not too much, but I went down there and walked out there because I knew there was a bunch of homeless people that kind of hung out on the beach down there. And I just kind of filtered into that group and was talking to this guy. And, you know, and he says, well, hey, man, you know, and he was cool. You know, he said, yeah. He goes, well, I stay on the pier over there. He goes, yeah. He goes, where are you staying? I go, oh, I'm not really hooked up right now. And he goes, well, you know, I got an extra blanket down here. You're welcome to have, man. He goes, it's laundered and everything. And I said, really? He goes, yeah, sure. You're welcome. Yeah, welcome to it. And I was, that really, I went, wow, okay. You know, and that's really where I found it was that guy. I don't know his name. Don't remember his face, but he did that. He said, yeah. But the big thing was, he goes, but it's clean. And that meant, you know, and I was like, wow, okay. So when I was have the line where I go, yeah, I know I look like hell, you know, I kind of took that kind of an attitude from that guy because, you know, he was like that, but he's like, you know, it meant something doing that, you know, that it was a clean blanket, you know, and that's a true story. Yeah, absolutely. So I was like, yeah, I'd never been around that. I didn't want to fake it. You know, I've been fortunate. I've never been homeless. So, you know, I mean, I was in college, and that's pretty close to it when you're in the dorm. But, you know, you don't have any money or anything. At least my parents are like, forget it. You know, so just going and seeing that firsthand, you know, because I just, like I said, I didn't have any experience with it. I wasn't trying to go all method or anything. I just wanted to go kind of see if, like, you know, am I going to get my butt kicked or what's going to happen out here, you know?
Yeah.
And so it was nothing like I thought it would be. I mean, most of the people are just, you know, they're regular people. They're just displaced. I mean, at least at the third
street. So, you know, it really is that hearing you talk about the people on the street in 1990s versus the reality of what we're living in and have been living in here in Los Angeles for that same 25 years, what happened in the, you know, the politics of neglect actually, and just mm-hmm. festered. Yeah. And it's sad as a local there, you know, just talking about it recently, it's very sad for me to see everywhere I look. It's just not the beautiful city that I knew is every corner is not, you know, it's a different world, but I really appreciate that, that I also thought about, you know, we talk about the makeup, but boy, you stood out in the rain, and that was, we always did rain, right, Larry? We did stormy weather and that. And that was the year that the rain really came at us, right, Jess? That was, L.A. was wet that year.
It also really struck me that when your character climbs up on the roof, as a Marine, you had the fearlessness and the confidence and the competence to do that. And Jim wouldn't have been able to do it. and Brandon wouldn't have been able to do it. So it was really, I loved that there was a physical way that we could demonstrate that you still had what it took to be a Marine.
Well, I also got to be of service. I mean, he just had it out with the guy. So I could have just, you know, when I told Brandon, you see me on the street, man, forget you know me. And then to have that, to pivot back around, because now, you know, Carol's down there with the ceiling on her turkey or whatever, and so, you know, this type of guy was just, he just sees the problem. We got to fix it right now.
Yeah,
put aside any of the words that we just had in the living room in there. You know?
Yeah,
it was an episode that really demonstrated the Walsh House as the center of these kids' lives and the friendship as family. You know, these friends together as family on Thanksgiving was very beautiful. And I was touched by that as well. The door opening and there's one more. And
yes.
Carol saying, sure, you know, that everybody was nice.
Well, Carol gets introduced to Canner in this clip. I'm going to show this.
Well, Mom, I guess even the house in Beverly Hills bring a leak now and then, huh?
Yeah, well, it snowed in Minneapolis, but it never made the roof leak.
Hey, it smells good in here.
Yeah, Mom's been cooking for hours.
Honey, come in and close the door. We got enough water in here as it is.
Well, I kind of brought somebody home.
Fine. Bring him in and close the door.
Hey, Jack. Jack, come on in here.
Come on.
Mom, Dad, Brenda.
This is Jack Kanner. Jack, this is my family. How do you do?
So there you have it. Carol, I'm curious for you. You get this script, you read this this episode. Pretty heavy stuff, but it's not surprising with 90210 that we're going to go heavy here. What's your thoughts? What are your memories of working on this?
I have to say, watching it, boy, I didn't try to hide my reaction to protect this man's feelings. Horror on my face is sort of undisguised.
Yeah.
But I do think, you know, it is part of that theme of everyone welcome and everybody come. I grew up in a house like that. All of my brother's friends hung out at our house, which was kind of fun. He's 2.5 years older than me. So,
I mean, Thanksgiving is Seder with turkey, right?
Yes,
yeah. Exactly.
And turkey. And for once, I'm glad I got to stay in the kitchen. I didn't have to go out in that rain.
There's a couple of
a fun evening of shooting, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
For me and Steve, Thanksgiving was the holiday when all of our friends came to our table. And it was really a good time for us. So it's nice to see it on screen.
Oh, I absolutely agree. Thanksgiving, of all the holidays, it's the one that matters the most to us. Karen was the one that cooked for the family. And she got a great recipe, and it's so good that right now she's upstairs with both my daughters, and they're cooking it because we have it on Wednesday night. That has to do with in-laws and too much, but we Thanksgiving has definitely it just meant so much. And it was really, you know, back then, even when we were making the episode, you know, Christmas didn't start till Santa came down in the Macy's parade. It wasn't that same buildup. It really, one of the things I remember loving about it is in high school and things was that it was not a commercial holiday at that point. There was no, you know, big sales at Walmart the next day.
Friday. Yeah, no.
You know, one thing, you know, which we have to mention, which always bugged me about the Thanksgiving was we had to have a live episode on the Wednesday night before Thanksgiving. It was a sweeps episode. People were traveling. Our audience is traveling. It was always going to be a soft rating, and we would be wasting it. It used to drive me crazy. Just wanted to get that out.
Oh, the last week of sweeps, right. And certainly the Stones, we felt really bad about.
Oh, my God.
My memory of this episode.
But all of them were always, you know, that was right. Just a, you know, a low-rated sweeps episode. And then, you know, they would never just rerun something, which we would beg them to.
But my memory is coming to the Thanksgiving, having my niece come over, and we're all there, and I'm feeling really good. We picked up this episode, and now it's Thanksgiving the next day, and we're all there. And she was a senior at college at the time, out in Northridge. And I said, she said, oh, you know, and I knew she watched it with her sorority. I said, so how did it play? She went, yeah, we didn't like it. Yeah, I don't, you know, the homeless is okay, but you know, I mean, she wanted romance. And Dave, you know, you can fuck her up all you want, but it ain't going to be there for her.
Well, Donna has the Beverly Hills, you know, the reaction. She goes up to him. So you're homeless, or it's like an awkward moment. Yes. Donna goes up to the guy. He says, "Hi, you're homeless."
Let me show that clip real quick. I want to show this. I want to show
it's
this.
Very
bit
true,
here.
Though. You know,
there's a good bit here of things that happen.
Does anybody else want a sandwich or something?
Brandon, Mom will kill you if you eat before dinner.
Just a little something to tide me over.
So, you're homeless, huh? Donna. I'm sorry. I've just never met a homeless person before.
You'll have to forgive Donna, Mr. Kanner. See, she thinks it's a tragedy to leave home without her gold card.
It's not funny. I mean, there are a lot of people out there suffering. A lot of people who have somehow let life's loose ends slip through their fingers and they can't get them back. I mean, they're hungry, their children are hungry, their clothes are wearing thin, they're out on the street with nowhere to sleep except out in the rain. They got a few more problems to worry about than whether or not the cable TV is out or whether or not they should have a sandwich before they eat their dinner, you know?
I think that's uncalled for, Mr. Kanner.
What?
You're a guest in this house.
I think it's unfair to blame these kids for the problems you might have.
What is fair, Mr. Walsh? You don't know what's fair until one of your kids looks you in the eye and wonders why they don't have a place to live.
Where are your children, Mr. Canner? Yeah. That's the difference between you and me.
You never did serve your country, did you, Mr. Walsh?
Get out.
Dad.
My clothes still upstairs, she?
Yeah, why?
Do me a favor, Brandon. Next time you see me on the street, pretend you don't know me.
Whew. Some heavy stuff.
His description of wild people on the street, I think, just nails it. You know, the threads of life slip through your fingers. And most of the time, it's not your own, it's not really even your fault, you know?
Well, that was true certainly then. That was true then.
No, it's, I think it's even more true now.
Well, the way they don't get
$400 emergency.
Yeah. Go ahead, Chuck.
The way that you delivered the line, you know, stuff, it was, it all, you know, it's with that affectation, the way you did it, and at least the sound of your voice, it was like Tom Joad. It was like the grapes of wrath. It was like America explaining why we're in the situation we're in, because there is that notion of, you know, we still by 1990 at that point were looking at anybody who was homeless or that in the prism of, you know, you're a welfare freeloader. And, you know, that was, so that was still, and hey, our show was on Fox. So yeah, that was certainly the notion, and you brought so much humanity to that they were father and kids, and that, you know, that the real shit happens kind of.
Yeah. You know, hey, Dave, do you remember doing those scenes with James Eckhouse? I think those are some of the best stuff.
Sure. Yeah. I do. I love James. James is a good guy. I was watching that, and I was a little bit kind of like, when they used that tape, but director, what was his name again? I'm sorry.
Richard Lang.
Richard Lang. I'm sorry. Gosh, it's forever. Because when James says that, what he says to me, you know, something about that's the difference between you and me, whatever, he got me. And so when I said, you never did serve your script, I was like, my jaw got tight, you know, and Richard was like, no, I want to keep that. I'll go, yeah, it sounds like I'm trying to spit it out, because that's what I wanted. I was trying to get that out, and I thought I flubbed it, you know, but it kept it in there. But yeah, so I just remember that, and I was like, yeah, okay, you know, but it worked. But yeah, James was great. He got that out of me. He locked in.
You know, Carol, I'm curious to know from you. You've seen James would have been here today, but he had something going on, so he was unable to. But you've worked with him quite a bit. What's your thoughts on his performance in this episode?
Oh, I think it's lovely. It's nice for him to have something that he can, you know, sink his teeth into, and a little bit more of a backstory. And I thought we had a nice little exchange in the kitchen, or, you know, and I'm supporting him. I'm, you know, holding him. I mean, you get the sense of this relationship as well. And then he has a beautiful return at the end.
Yes.
He becomes his usual gracious self.
Yes. Right?
So, and so then you see that's the real Jim. And the way that Cindy and Jim work together in creating this warm and welcoming atmosphere in their home. And it's only because of this deep wound he has in relation to his own father that he would ever have, you know, reacted in that way, and been so uncordial and unwelcome to a guest.
Yeah.
I think having another guy come in there and kind of taking over the center stage for a little bit would be, I mean, that would make, I think, most guys uncomfortable a little bit, you know, because it's like, this guy's up in my kitchen, you know.
Not setting the stage so much, but what I think we were trying to do in that passage, right, Jess, was the element that here you are, and when somebody, and I see it around people, I see it in my own family, I see it just, you know, somebody, you start criticizing something about something, and then the criticism gets more, and then it gets more, and you're more and more of the feelings come out, and at a certain point, you know, I think at a certain point, you know, you could understand some man or somebody saying it, can we stop this now? Now, he didn't say it. But you know, he finally had enough.
Yeah.
Not that you're saying wasn't wise, it just kept going on, right?
Also, he had to defend the children in his house. You know, he felt that it wasn't fair to Donna and it wasn't fair to the kids. And so his in was coming from a good place. Right. He wasn't defending himself, and then it pushed him over the edge when the character pushed his button one thing because he never served. And it was a nice scene. The reason I know we wrote it is because of the line when Brandon says he's going to have a sandwich to tide him over. I mean, that was such a steep line. And so I see our fingerprints on the script, but. I wish I could remember or take credit for the.
Well, you got credit, really man. Moving. You're on. There's more than your fingerprints on it. So thank you so much, Jeff, for doing it.
There's a couple other things happening in this episode. I want to talk about this person. This is Melanie Smith, who went on to do some Seinfeld, right? Chuck and I had an opportunity to speak with her a little bit earlier today about working on the show. This is her talking about the scenes that she did on this in this episode.
So,
what do you remember about shooting this 90210 episode?
I remember, as I said, coming into the situation. You know, and for some reason, I naturally have a lot of confidence. I've never been a kid. I've never been in awe of anybody. Maybe again, and I don't know. Are either one of you Jewish? Charles, you're Jewish.
Yeah, I'm Italian.
So you know how like we're raised really never to worship false idols, right? And I think that translates into my beingness as a human being. The only person I've ever gone like, wow, was when I was in an elevator with Joni Mitchell. So I was never enamored with anyone unless they were a profoundly incredible human being. And so I kind of just walked into the show and I was in the makeup room and I could hear these whispers out the door and I see Tori and I see Jenny and I'm like, what are they? And so one of the makeup artists came in and they said they wanted to know if they could come in and meet you. And I was like, they wanted to come in and meet me. They're on 902. What are they talking about? Like, but I loved World Turns. So they came in and they were so sweet and so humble and just adorable. I don't remember how old they were versus how old I was, but they were just adorable. And then I remember doing the love scene with Ian.
Yeah.
And we had met before, you know, obviously doing, you know, introduced and, you know, rehearsing and whatnot. And he had said, you know, I'm such a huge fan of yours from World Turns. And then we were doing the love scene and he whispered, you don't understand, this is my fantasy.
Wait a second. I totally forgot. You actually had a makeout scene with him?
Yeah.
Brian, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It didn't make the final cut.
I don't know.
Wow.
There was some kind of like makeout scene or something. I don't remember the details of it, but there was a makeout scene and he was like,
yeah, well, yeah.
So that was really cute. That was really cute. I remember.
Yeah, so that was her. I mean, and her interview is great, Chuck. We had fun talking to Melanie, right? She told
it might have just been a trailer scene, a trailer kissing scene, maybe.
Oh, maybe.
Perhaps an off-camera scene.
But we're going to release that as an episode.
Yeah, because I don't remember filming one. It just didn't seem. It's a comedy runner. We got to get to the next story, which is coming up, which is.
I know.
Well, Jessica, do you remember?
So I can't imagine that we did it, but
I don't remember the makeout scene. But Steve is so excited afterwards to tell Brandon how hot his weekend was that I wouldn't be surprised that we did that we did give him that.
I'm not, what I'm because, saying is I think we might have written or we were going to do it, but I don't think he filmed it. I mean, one of the things I love.
She remembers it unless he told her they were filming and that was Ian getting a kiss in there.
Yeah.
I don't know. I honestly.
That's what I'm thinking.
It seems odd that far down in Act 4.
Yeah.
That we would be cutting away to the comet. What?
Except you're forgetting one thing, Chuck. You're forgetting the sign above your desk. Kissing is good. Kissing.
I knew what the sign was, and I was never
there. Wasn't
in that any? Office.
There wasn't that much kissing in this episode.
I noticed. Not that, much, yes.
The balance might have been appropriate.
Yeah.
Luke at the end kisses both girls, which is great.
Yes, that was so sweet. Really great. I love that.
Me too.
And also it's Ian.
I was going to say Ian, you know, exactly. Clear it up.
And Christine
clear
that.
It's Ian, not Ian. Yeah.
Right. Ian. Poor Ian.
There is somebody else in the episode too, Jessica, that is with us. Valerie Wildman is.
Valerie got to do some kissing.
That's right.
Yes.
That's what I was thinking. Yes.
I know. Hi, it was like 3 seconds into the meeting, everybody. You're meeting Josh. And next
you know, the old man from prison. You know, you got to give it up.
Yeah.
Luckily, the chemistry felt good. But some of the people on the set, some of the crew was like, wow, you guys have known each other a long time. Yeah, 3 seconds.
Well, Valerie,
here's life.
This is, I think, when we first see Christine Pettit in this episode, what was it like walking into that world at that time?
Well, I have to say that the first person that I met was Luke, and he was so lovely and so humble that I think that's what really helped us bond in that scene and after that too. I think there you might have picked up a feeling of love between us that I really feel like began just in our first meeting because of his open heart, and I think it helped me feel so relaxed. And every single person, whether it be in the makeup trailer and on the set, was so warm and welcoming. And I think also from the auditions, you all made it so comfortable that I felt truly, truly welcome. I also think it helped a lot that I hadn't seen a lot of the show. So I didn't feel, I don't think I realized what a pivotal episode this was. And also the impact that the storyline was going to have on the series. So ignorance is bliss. I was totally ignorant. Everyone was welcoming. And the house felt like the real house. It felt like Thanksgiving. I really felt like it was happening. And, you know, when an actor feels that they're not being judged and there's this feeling of unconditional acceptance, I think love is probably too strong, but it felt like that. It's so easy just to be relaxed and let the character come out and the words flow. Mm. And as I said to Jessica before we came on live, I think it's so beautifully written that it just felt so natural, just so natural for the words to come out, that it allowed everything else to flow so smoothly. And I have to tell you, I watched it again last night. I was moved to tears, and I actually, the words that came to mind for what I was feeling, which makes no
sense. Well,
we're losing your sound.
You lost your audio.
I hear you.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay, I don't know what happened, but I actually, when I watched it, I got this sentimental feeling, and I was trying to say, what is this feeling? And it was like a feeling of being homesick. And I think that's because you all made us and made me feel so at home that I really missed those times, missed all of you, missed those scenes, missed the cast, the crew. And, those feelings were really heartfelt. That was not acting.
Yeah. Very beautiful.
I have to thank you and return the favor and say that you brought something to this role that was so amazing,
because you were both sexy and elegant at the same time. It was just a great, great combination. You sold this character. And when you said that you knew Nat and you knew the Peach Pit, it was like you were suddenly, you were family. It's
yes.
That it was really, that was just so great. And you sold it. What was terrific was seeing you through Luke's eyes, through Dylan's eyes, when at the when he looks over and gives her the up and down, and he's got a crew.
that was a nice touch.
Whoever that was a really touch. Nice moment.
Thank you. I was saying something on one of the other podcasts that I think the first time I came in, I actually had oversexed the character in my mind, and I think you all were so kind. You kind of knew that, and you invited me back and said, "Come in, looking a little more elegant." So I put kept the sexuality under the elegant clothing.
That's what felt great.
Yeah, really, it felt like a pleasant conjugal visit.
And Dylan was so nice to offer up his bedroom for them.
It was only a little creepy.
Yeah. All right. I'm gonna let Valerie go. I want to ask David before you leave. Did you just recently looked at this episode? Do you guys and Carol too? Do you guys think this episode still holds up after all these years? I mean, everybody in the chat is definitely saying it does. So I'm curious for Dave, what do you think about that?
You know, I do. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, I do too. I found it very moving in spots. You know, and I was really getting pissed off at Luke for being such a dick.
Yeah, same. Yeah.
So I was glad to see her put him in his place. But no, I it was very engaging and involving, you know? And you normally, when I see myself, it's harder for me to get emotionally involved because I'm too conscious of seeing myself. But that wasn't a problem in this episode. Maybe it's because I look so different. It's like some woman there with the red hair and the.
I'm doing the podcast.
you're fantastic in this episode, Carol. I mean, I felt like I was home. I think I get what Valerie was saying too. You said about the cast, but I think everyone feels when they watch this episode a sense of home. And also, I think this is one of those episodes of 90210 where we always talk about the heart, that 90210 always had heart. This is one of those episodes where it shines through.
I have to say, that set, I loved being on that set. It felt like home. It was so beautifully designed. It was so warm, all that marvelous wood. There was a leather chair in the alcove but where you go upstairs that I would sit in that every time I got the chance. I wanted to take it home with me.
Yeah.
Really, I think the ambiance that the set itself created really did half the work for it. And I grew up in a very kind of iconoclastic family. When I remember in high school one year, my mother cooked steak for Thanksgiving and I had such a fit. Turkey on the following Sunday. But so to be able to sort of pretend to be this mother who's got this family with all these wonderful traditions and all that togetherness, I mean, it was kind of a dream job in that way.
Yes. And just in case anybody's listening, the exterior is in Altadena, just in case that question needed to come
up. Gorgeous house. So beautiful. And the inside was totally 50s, mid-century, a lot of teak paneling. I mean, it was so different, completely different layout. I mean, the set that was created works with that exterior much better than the actual house. I
live away from the exterior in Altadena. Zara says, yo, this episode gave me a Thanksgiving vibe and I'm not even American, though. So that's what you guys are doing there.
Well, everyone gives thanks.
I'm going to say goodbye to Dave, Carol, and Charles, and Valerie.
Adios.
We're about to jump
Okay. Happy Thanksgiving. Very, very grateful.
Thanksgiving. Great holidays, everybody.
Yes.
And very grateful you put this together, Pete.
Awesome. Yeah. Happy Thanksgiving to all of you. I'm going to run this ad, say goodbye to everybody, and then we're going to jump into Breast Side Up. Hang on, guys.
So check it. We have so much new and exciting merchandise over at Beverly Hills, 90210showshop.com. You can get your own Peach Pit shirt or Welcome to Beverly Hills shirt. Or, oh my God, check out that classic retro Beverly Hills 90210 shirt. Oh, and for you Claire Arnold fans, Pete, you can get yourself a Claire Arnold t-shirt. I mean, we pretty much have everyone and everything covered, from Dylan McKay to Ray Pruitt. I mean, we even have a Roy Randolph shirt. So don't be a squeeze. Head over to Beverly Hills, 90210showshop.com, and get on it.
Okay. Breast right up.
Caroline.
Caroline, how are you?
Yeah.
I am wonderful, Jessica. Oh my gosh. I've been watching this last conversation, and seeing you all again is so wonderful. It makes me want to cry.
Oh, that you look fabulous.
You look beautiful.
Yeah, really, really.
Well, I'm almost in tears now, so you have to forgive me.
No, I mean, that had to be 25 years ago. I mean, it's amazing. So you were playing over your age at that point. You were a young actress playing older.
Well, anyway, I'm going to just pull myself together here. It is so wonderful to be here. And, you know, I rewatched the episode yesterday. And I mean, I've seen it a couple of times. You know, I have kids who wanted to see it and so on. But I probably hadn't seen it for about, I don't know, 5 or 6 years or something. And I watched it and I thought, my God, this is absolutely could be filmed yesterday. You know, when we did Gossip Girl, we also did one of those iconic kind of Thanksgiving shows on that one. And there's something about Thanksgiving that I don't know what it's like for a writer producer, but I would assume that there's so many ways you can go, because there's always an underlying tension at Thanksgiving, even with the most well-adjusted families. And then there's also, you know, fun things. I mean, I'm not talking about maybe this year, but, you know, things that happen, you know, new kids, new people. And watching that show, it was sort of everything in a way you want Thanksgiving to be. Problems that got resolved, relationships that got clarified. And then, of course, you know, that amazing, amazing guest star. I got a hat out of it, a signed hat, and I have two boys. And I'm a single mother, so I don't always like come through with the sporty stuff for them. They still have that hat hanging up on their wall. And they argue about whose hat it is. And I say, it's mine.
we have the football shirt that made signed to Jessica and Steve from Steve Young.
Steve Young. I have a football.
Oh, yeah, wow.
Which Steve brought me back from the set.
Really?
Yeah, and that was the day. I mean, David Semel talks about that day of shooting that scene where that was the end of the OJ trial's verdict came out that day, and how strange that was.
You know, that I was in the dressing room when the verdict came out. It was shocking. I think everybody just froze. A lot of people burst into tears. And then we went back to film, but it was a tough day. That was that show, wasn't it? I wasn't quite sure.
Yeah, that was the moment. Because I remember, because Cameron Bancroft, who played Joe Bradley on the show, said that right before it happened, Steve Young said to him, they're gonna announce the verdict, and cameras gonna be on you. Don't show any emotion at all. Don't show what you're thinking. That was the advice he gave him, which was interesting advice, probably smart and savvy.
Probably very smart. I mean, it was a very, very fraught time in American history. Yeah. You know, reverberating.
Yeah.
Zara says, Caroline, you played the character so well. You put the respect and mental health back in the map because you recovered. And you had David, and I think she means, and Val, pay attention to your issues. Kudos to the writers.
Well, it was so beautifully written. And now that I'm older and I have children that, you know, are now, well, actually older than those kids are, they're like 30 now. But, and you know, I have relatives who've dealt with mental health issues. I just cannot say how beautifully that scene was written. You know, her hesitation when he says, oh, now we're going to go feed the homeless. And she was, you know, you just see her, but she knows there, but for the grace of God. And there was the grace of God, and she came out of it, you know, and people do come out of it if they get help. But, you know, if they don't, they're stuck in that rut forever.
Now, Jessica did a great job with the script, and there's so much going on. I mean, What I loved about it and seeing it, obviously the kids get to take over the house, but they don't because David's mother's there. I mean, so David's Val has all plans. It's just really a great setup. In fact, I was so happy. I watched the opening titles, which I've been getting bored with, which is always the same B-roll of Beverly Hills. And this time we're in a supermarket.
Right.
And it's just joyous and so real. Where was that? Where was that supermarket?
I don't remember. I don't remember what it was.
But no, we never did stuff like that. That's an expensive buy. You got to take over the whole market for the day. And
I know. It was good. Grab the food and all that. No, it was wonderful. We're actually going to watch it this Thanksgiving because my son who's home with me, one of my sons lives abroad, but my son who's here in Santa Monica with me, he couldn't watch it with me when I watched it yesterday. And so we're going to watch it on Thanksgiving.
That's so nice.
I know. I'm so excited. It's going to be like a little family thing there. So I'm excited about it.
Our friend Lisa wants to know, Caroline, how are you cooking your turkey this year? Breast side up or breast side down?
This was so Jessica.
Yeah.
No, we had had the argument in my house.
I just Googled how to cook it breast side down, literally, while I was waiting to come on the show. I have to tell you that this year I'm being a very good girl. I canceled my niece coming. I canceled my goddaughter flying in from New York. I canceled everything. And there are the three of us. And I'm going to a little restaurant here because I try to support the local businesses when I can, the ones that have been around for a long time. And we're going to go to a sweet little place called Fig. And they're doing little Thanksgiving meals for like 2 and 3 people. And we're going to order it in from them. They were so thrilled for the business. And so that's what I'm doing this year. The first year I haven't cooked in about 20, how old is my oldest son? 31. First year I haven't cooked in 31 years. But, and then we're going to go for a big hike alone in Will Rogers, keeping our distance from people. So I think it'll be nice. But I'm going to cook it breast side down next year. And I'm going to be...
There you go. Jessica, so this where does the breast side down or breast side up thing come from?
So I don't remember what was the chef who we saw or read about who said cook it breast side down. And we decided to try it. I think Steve and I argued about it a number of times, but we did it breast side down and it was more tender, but you don't get the very gorgeous skin on the top. So no. I stopped doing it and I cook it breast side up.
All right. Just keep basting. Yeah, I have this recipe where you sort of loosen the skin and you put herb butter between the skin and the
flesh. If you put enough butter there, it doesn't really matter.
A Gordon Ramsay recipe. So that's what I do normally.
There's a lot going on in this episode, too, with the couples. And we see Steve and Claire. I think Claire admits that she's in love with Steve here.
I loved the scenes with Steve at the party, and I remember taking ridiculous classes in college about television comedy and film comedy and its history and Shakespeare and Phaedo and all that. I thought it was, I saw the typing there, and it was such a great payoff. I loved it. And I loved, in addition to the supermarket, that Brandon and Kelly driving in the car for absolutely no reason.
I was thinking that too.
It was like, we must have had to make a day that we got to have them doing something so unimportant outside, and it gave the episode such openness. It was really, really nice.
I think it was a tow scene too. I think they had cameras both sides. But we must have been making a day, like in one of the locations.
We must have been making a day with the supermarket. It must have been the supermarket and that.
Yeah.
And something else.
I love Steve and that faculty thing was so much fun. I flashed on something which I hadn't put together, but the guy who plays the guy with the glasses, the funny teacher there, was an old college buddy of mine. And the guy who busted Steve, Mr. Bardwell, was our drama teacher at Ithaca College. And I never realized that. I wonder what the guy was thinking because he was his professor too. But it was so cool to see this thing. The guy had a different name now, David Cromwell. He was David Burroughs. So I never realized
Wow, that's really funny.
But it's it was so good to see Steve win over everyone, and it just set up their relationship for a couple of years, basically, and it really worked. You know, they brought out the best in each other.
I loved the Tori Cameron Bancroft thing and the payoff of that episode. Mm. It was so important to me.
Oh my God, that was amazing.
That we were able to play her virginity for another half a second.
I know. He gave us a free pass. I know. All of a sudden, she's ready to give it up, and he says, no. I mean, it's just great. It gave us another 30 episodes of virginity.
Caroline, Brittany wants to know what it was like working with Brian and also Matthew Lawrence.
Oh, well, it was absolutely fantastic. I think that... Well, I really have to say that for all the young people on that show, because I'm not quite sure how many episodes I did, like five.
You
five
did
or
a
so.
Lot, yeah.
I did a lot. I loved it. But I went to New York, so I wasn't very experienced in doing television. You know, now I've been here for 20 years. That's all mostly of what I've been doing. But it was, they were so lovely and so kind to me. And the scenes I did with Tiffany, I mean, what a little angel. And I mean, there wasn't one person there who didn't make me feel welcome. And there's always that feeling when you come in and you don't really know people that well. And as for Brian, I mean, it's funny, I just looked him up on his Instagram account. And I was thinking, okay, I can still play your mother. What are you doing now? Don't you need a mother?
No, well, you really had a very lovely relationship with him on screen, and it was very touching. I loved it.
No, I thought it was sweet, and I thought that he was the way he handled that scene when he talked about us going to the homeless shelter. I just thought, you know, the way he sort of said it somewhat hesitantly, but firmly at the same time, and then sort of encouraged me. And I don't know, it was just so easy to act with him. It was like talking to my own son, but better even.
You know, in this episode too, we just talked a long time about the other episode with the homeless thing. And this comes up again in this episode. Jessica, are you kind of, is that a callback to that or?
No, I don't think it was a callback to that. I think it's more related to the fact that every year on Thanksgiving, we used to go to the Laugh Factory and in the morning serve Thanksgiving dinner to the homeless or to a comedian who didn't have any money or to whoever lined up outside the Laugh Factory. And it was something that was important to us that we taught our children and that we wanted to show that our characters, although they had the reputation for being spoiled, really weren't. And it was another way to demonstrate values. You know, with everything that we wrote had some point, you know, that even in the lighter episodes, we were slipping messages in wherever we could. And I think feeding the homeless is a good thing to do on Thanksgiving.
Absolutely.
I think it's a wonderful thing to do. And I just...
It also is so poignant because of her situation. So it created great drama for, you know, that great moment.
Yeah. What were you going to say, Caroline?
I was just going to say, I really think that you were, I mean, I don't know what else was being shown about the homeless in back in the day, but I think you guys are really ahead of your time. The compassionate way you wrote about home, both in the other episode that I've been listening to, and then in our episode, the fact that you dealt with the struggle of mental illness, the fact that you dealt with, you know, how people, I mean, Sheila's story, even I don't know the story of the other gentleman we just heard, but Sheila's story that, you know, she stopped paying her bills, so she lost her job, then she lost her apartment, and then she, you know, she had a, you know, manic depression, and then, you know, how easily one's life can unravel because I don't know where y'all are living, but even in Santa Monica, wherever you go, these viaducts, there are these crowds of homeless people. And, you know, now we're sort of aware of the lack of care for them and the fact most of them are mentally ill or have drug issues, but a lot of them just have a run of bad luck. And, you know, I've read somewhere, you know, a lot of Americans are about $800 away from being homeless. Hmm. Do you have any savings? Well,
between the homelessness and the mental illness part of it was very important to me because my father suffered from bipolar disorder. And it was wish fulfillment to see David's mother recover. And my father was okay. Right. Was okay enough to appear on Beverly Hills 90210. but mental illness is a subject that is important to me.
Mm. Yeah, my cousin suffered from manic depression for years and years and years, and would spiral up, would spiral down. And thank God he had a strong family around him and who supported him and who took care of him and who checked him at the hospital when he needed to go. But I mean, it's really a lifelong issue that you're dealing with. There's no quick cure unfortunately, for a lot of those illnesses.
Mm. Todd pointed this shot out. I love this shot of you guys
through the oven.
Yeah,
my favorite shot of the show.
Through the oven point shot. Of view.
Yes, microwave point of view.
I think I'm going to screenshot it when I watch the show again tomorrow. I just heavenly with the two.
Well, yeah, David Semel was the director of this episode.
That's right.
He went on to direct a lot of episodes for us, and yeah,
it was wonderful. That was his idea, that shot?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
We've done many through the locker shots in high school, so. Same gag.
Right. But it worked. And the breast was brown, and the bottom was brown. The turkey looked gorgeous.
Yes, we had a great prop.
It was breast side up.
I think so, too.
If you look at it, it's breast side up.
What?
Where was continuity?
Gary Antista probably did it that way.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny stuff. And also, of course, we talked about this at length with Cameron Bancroft, the Steve Young thing. We kind of brought it up here again. Larry, just looking back on the Steve Young thing again, what's your thoughts on how he performed and all of that stuff? And you can dig into our archives and pull up the Cameron Bancroft episode. Yeah.
It was really a goof. The whole Lee Steinberg thing, which was, shot in front of the studio in North Hollywood. And it's just, it was a great gambit in their relationship, because we really needed to have a special relationship for them, because there was going to be nothing physical going on. And so they have this wonderful thing where they try to top each other for gifts. And that was just a wild shot. I think again, it was the year that Fox was showing the NFL, one of the first years, and so they were our sponsors. So it was easy to reach out to sports players, and also through Mr. Spelling CAA connections. And Steve Young was very game. He did some lines. You were out there for the filming. I don't think he took a long time. And again, it was that strange day anyway. But no, he was terrific. And Cameron was delighted. I mean, it was an experience of a lifetime to get a ball thrown to you by Steve Young. And that was the whole idea of it. Donna Martin, fantastic. That's the kind of stuff. When she says, "I'm Donna Martin, John Martin's daughter," your brother's bypass. Your brother's bypass. It was so Beverly Hills. It could be nothing more than Beverly Hills. It was like, if Chuck was there, he would love that. But he wouldn't. He never watched the episode. But he would love that moment, because that's a totally Beverly Hills moment.
Wonderful.
Yeah, this is great stuff. Caroline, you looked back on this episode all these years later. You said you're going to watch it again.
Yeah,
you think it holds up? Do you guys all think the breast side up holds up?
Yeah. I mean, seeing the romantic stuff is fantastic. That all of a sudden got everyone away, and now Brandon and Kelly are back, in breathing in each other's air. It's pretty exciting. And, they've all, told the other one the same thing, that it doesn't matter. And, it's just great, great storytelling in there. Very happy with that.
It's something about unfulfilled desire, which is fabulous on camera.
Yeah.
It really is.
How about for you, Jessica, looking back on this?
Looking back on this, I first time I'd seen it in 25 years, whatever, was when we talked to Cameron Bancroft.
Yeah.
And so I had seen it recently. Ish, but I think I didn't watch the rest of the storylines. I think we were doing so many that I had to fast forward through the other storylines. So watching the whole episode from beginning to end, I was really proud, frankly. Yeah. And because this was the first episode that I did on my own.
Yes.
Steve and I had written all of our episodes together, and this was my first solo credit. And yeah, I was really proud of it, and it was fun. And I have to say, this is personal, but I fell in love with Steve Wasserman because the first day I met him, he played touch football on the lawn with the guys that I was working for who were his friends. And this, he was a kid from the Midwest. And I thought, this is a Jewish guy from Cleveland who can throw and catch a football. I want that guy. And so to see it then play out with throwing a football on the front lawn with Steve Young was just so great. And yeah, I was glad I got to have my name on it. It was fun.
That's awesome.
Brilliant. Wonderful.
Yeah, really wonderful stuff, guys. I think we've covered this. This is a great Thanksgiving, two really great episodes. So everybody go back and watch these tonight. I think they're really good. Caroline, we definitely want to bring you back because there's a lot of amazing storylines that
the Portland one, Chuck, I know wants you to come, but he's very disappointed that he's not here because he wanted to meet you. Yeah. But the Portland episode where you're homeless and they go and rescue you from the homeless from the streets there.
One of our favorite
Yeah, so we'll definitely do that.
Well, give me a distanced hug from me, okay?
Yeah, we will do that for sure. Listen, next week we're doing two episodes. And we're going to say goodbye to Caroline so that you don't have to sit around and listen to all this information.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Girl. So good to see you.
Both. Okay, God bless.
Yeah. So now next week, we're doing two episodes. Chuck and I are recording something with Sandy Grushow, which is going to be fun, just about an executive's look and take on the show. And then Larry and I are back that night, December 2nd, and we're doing We Interrupt This Program, where Donna Stalker from season 7 holds her at gunpoint and holds the TV show hostage. So that's going to be fun. We've got Jill Novick coming back.
I haven't seen that one in a long time. Should be interesting to see that.
We've got Evan Potter coming on. So we've got a lot of cast and characters coming
on. Art Hindle's coming. Jill Novick, you said? Did you say Jill?
Yeah. Jill will be with us. And Evan, I also want to shout out our friend Shari Weiss. I don't know if you guys have been paying attention to Shari Weiss, but she's been doing a lot of really great stuff over there at the Teen Drama Horror, and that's where you can find that. And that's it. I think this is it, guys. So we will be back next week. Make sure you check out our show shop, Beverly Hills 90210 Show Shop. Happy Thanksgiving, Jessica. Happy Thanksgiving, Larry. Happy Thanksgiving.
You too.
You forgot the news is on Friday.
That's right. We'll be back for the news on Friday, 90 News with Melanie Rose. Super excited for that. So stay tuned for all of those things.
Happy Thanksgiving, guys. Such a different kind of Thanksgiving. I mean, it's going to be so small.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. No volleyball game for me.
Anyway. Shout out to my uncle, Anthony, who I usually go see every year. I'm not seeing him this year. We're also social distancing. He canceled Thanksgiving. I wanted to give him some love. I'm sure he's not watching this, but anyway, somebody will get the message to him. All right, guys. Thank you so much for this bye-bye. Week. We'll be back
thanks
next week.
Thanks so much. All happy right, Thanksgiving.
Best to everybody. Right. Bye-bye.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.